Fred Film Radio, Venice Film Festival, Italy.
Fred Film Radio, the Festival Insider. We are talking to Willem Dafoe, who played the character of Pasolini in Pasolini, a film by Abel Ferrara, presented in competition here in Venice. Can I ask you a question about your work on the character with Abel Ferrara? Yes. How did you prepare to get inside the mind and the physique? Because physically, I must say, I met Pasolini once, and I was completely struck by the similarity between you and him. So how did you prepare this, and what was the conception between the dialogue between you and Abel Ferrara around how to build this character?
You know, I've worked with Abel before, and he really invites me to be a collaborator, and he started speaking to me quite early. Originally, there was a script that was written, but it was very biographical and psychological, and it had flashbacks, and it was very conventional and not very satisfying. So after that, we really knew we didn't want to do a traditional biopic. So really, it was about us and others gathering material and educating ourselves and finding material that was smelled good to us. It was interesting to us. And then we had just made a film, not just, but a couple of years ago, made a film about people, the last day on Earth, 24 hours. And I think something lingered from that, and we thought, well, let's take this as a discipline. This will help us. And then from that, we were able to create kind of a fact-based scenario. Fact-based because we could talk to friends, say, oh, when did he eat lunch? Well, you know, what did he talk about? Who was there? So that gave us a skeleton of, that was the comfort of the reality of it. And then on top of that, we knew we wanted to introduce, you know, some of his projects and some of his ideas. You didn't want to have a flood of voiceover, but you wanted to get a flavor of, we wanted to get a kind of what this man was thinking, how he was feeling. And I was part of that process. So it's a little bit like when you're reading a book, you become the author because you take his point of view. And before you know it, that gap between you and the author is gone. And it's almost like you're writing the book if you really love the book and you connect with it. And that's sort of the process. I started reading more and more, and I started getting into his thoughts and his brain. And that really is that's the way in. And then, of course, physically, I didn't want to have it be an imitative thing, but at the same time, he's well enough known and has cut quite a striking figure that I knew certain things had to happen. I don't look very Italian, not traditionally Italian, so I knew dark lenses, I knew dark hair, and physically, I'm quite like him. In fact, I wore some of his clothes, and I did look at videotapes, because there's quite a few videos of interviews, and I didn't copy him, but I just wanted to. The embarrassing thing is, moving to Italy, one of the first things I learned, I speak a very simple Italian, but I speak a very good gestural Italian. It's embarrassing, you know. We start going like this and like this, and you know, managgia, you know.
There is a reason.
But I didn't want to do that. I didn't want to do that. And I also, and he wasn't, that wasn't him anyway. Even though he was, kind of adopt this Roman life, he was always, he remained a Ravine guy, basically from Bologna.
Friuli.
Yeah, Friuli, but I mean, Bologna is really what is in his bones, I think. I suppose I'm different, but he's I'm an actor. I'm a person that collaborates on things that are usually involved more than other people. He was first a poet, so he's really an initiator. He's a writer. It's a different position. And I'm interested in change. I'm interested in contributing, but the way I do it is using myself as material. It's quite different. He did that to some degree because he was an actor too, but I think he was engaged politically in a much more philosophical and open way, because he also came from a tradition where politics was in his face, because he grew up with the fascists. His brother was murdered. I mean, this was his life. It wasn't a question of an attitude or a decision to, join a certain club or take on a certain vocation. It was really his life. Well, I felt close to the prophetic things he said about society. You read it, it's chilling. He was such an original thinker, and he was such a courageous thinker. And so Abel said, I think, in the conference too, he said, he's a guy that never took a step back. He was always going forward, forward, forward. He was full of contradictions, and he drove some people crazy because he was an original thinker. He couldn't be boxed in. And everything he did seemed to be personal. Everything he did had a certain kind of poetry. And the thing that I love about him, and I don't want to get too tied to this because it's too self-flattering, is, he understood the way he expressed himself. He understood beautifully, what's sacred about being human. And he, as Ninetto said, he's a guy that clearly loved life. By the end of his life, he was very pessimistic and was really obsessed, almost like Lenny Bruce, with the corruptions of the powers that be, and Petrolio's all about exposing that. He was, this is a guy that had been in court more than anyone in history, He was harassed, but he kept on going, kept on going, kept on going. Because even though Abel met with Pelosi, he's very unreliable, he's kind of a... I shouldn't be saying this. Don't want to create any problems, but unreliable. He wasn't a good source. But what we did is, in some testimony, like, for example, I found he had a court case where some guy said that he went and tried to pick him up and proposition him, like in a store, harassed him sexually. And it went to trial. And part of the testimony was the conversation they had. So I lifted some of that, showed it to Abel, and he liked it, and that was the heart of it. But it's also practical. What did we also asked, when you get with these boys, we've asked other people, what did he say about when he was with these boys? And nobody could really tell us, so we had to take it from things like that. But it's practical. What do you talk about? What does a kid like that talk about?
The place was the real place.
Yes.
Biondo Tevere.
Every place was real.
Yeah, but Biondo Tevere, it's still there. Yeah. The table where the last supper, the last dinner,
Yeah, and also Pomodoro. We also shot it. Where the dinner was with Ninetto and his family. That's the real place. The guy's still around that served him. And, of course, he told us Pio Paolo sat there, and he was sitting over here, and he ordered this, and he remembers this. And little details that helps. You don't become a slave to them. Like, for example, they were closed because there was a demonstration outside, and the gate was halfway down. You can't see it well enough in the movies. One of those details I'm mad about. But, he had to, Pio Paolo had to sneak under the... Yeah.
You deliberately avoided the mystery of the death. You didn't touch the problem of the mystery.
No,
the
we wanted to avoid it. That's a different movie and other people. Mm-hmm. And of course, we're shooting in Italy, and it's mostly a Roman crew, and... this is part of their DNA, this discussion, And it wasn't ours. It wasn't ours, I know. And I think, I don't mean to blow our own horn, but I think how it's approached in the movie works quite well for my taste, because we don't deny it, we don't say what it is. It's more experiential, because when those boys come, I think one thing's very clear. Now, from everything I've read and everything people have told me, it's pretty clear that there wasn't a single person. It was a group. So, as you see it in the movie, one thing, there's some ambiguity. Three guys come, but it's not really clear whether it's a robbery or a hate crime. They call him faggot and all that sort of thing, but it's also to get the money, It's also not clear if Pelosi knows them, because it's dark and it happens so fast. So it's more experiential. The simple fact is, he's brutally murdered. And he's murdered in this horrible situation. And that's, I think, what we wanted to accomplish. We didn't want to get into the whole can of worms about conspiracy and who wanted to kill him. And which is fascinating, but it's another movie. It has nothing to do with his prophetic view of what was happening in society or the projects he wanted to do or this beautiful contradiction between how he lived his life, between having lunch with his mother in 1 second and cruising for boys the next, And I think what I just joked about, I was trying to express, that's how I approached it. I was saying, we're making our movie. I'm not telling anyone this is who the guy was. This is our Pasolini. It's all we can do. We can only work from our experience. And I trusted us because I know how we approached it. We know we admired the guy, and we got as much good information as we could from people that, were of the culture, of the time, of, friends of his. So I felt comfortable with that, because I knew why we were doing it.
And this was Willem Dafoe, who played the role of Pasolini in the film by Abel Ferrara, presented here in Venice. We are on Fred Film Radio, the Festival Insider.
Fred Film Radio.
24/7 on fred.fm and smartphone apps.